And I thank God for that promise, that it's the true symbol of the rainbow, as he has shown us. I'd like to say thank you for Shannon to coming forward today, being our pastor. And we let us pray for her as she comes forward to offer God's word to us today. Oh Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have our blessed sister here who listens to your voice and feels your spirit moving within her. Now may your spirit enlighten her and enable her that we may hear your word and be blessed by it. In Jesus' name, amen.
So a Bible study leader asked Walt, a soft-spoken elderly gentleman, if he would open their study with prayer. And as Walt started praying, another man, straining to hear, shouted, "I can't hear you." And Walt replied, "I wasn't speaking to you." You'll get it. Hold on. It'll come. Amen. You know what I forgot to do? I forgot to get the clicker. So anyhow, yeah, one of those small little things. Anyhow, as they're doing that, getting that ready, maybe I'll get Amanda just to slide it forward to the next slide here. Oh, I guess Betty. No weapon formed against us or forged against you is the title of our message this morning. And, okay, right there. No weapon. Yeah, you do. That's why I'm clicking and it's not working. Okay, well, Don's working on batteries. They're in the back, Don. So no weapon forged against you. Now, if you think of that word forged, what do you see? How many of you watch some of those? They're not game shows, but those shows, they're kind of contests where they bring in. Well, one of the ones I watch is Forged in Steel. Now, you guys may think, what the? But anyhow, it's where men, and sometimes ladies, but most often it's men, compete against each other in building various types of swords and spears and such, and knives and hunting knives and stuff like that. And it's called Forged in Steel, and they work away and it goes so far. Anyhow, there takes some time sometimes for people to put together a weapon. And the enemy does the same thing. He forges weapons against you. So this is the scripture. Let me see if I can get it to move forward. There we go. From Isaiah 54:17. No weapon forged against you will prevail. And you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. I love the way the Amplified puts it. And we're going to put it up here again. I guess I didn't put it down the way I thought it would. No war weapon formed against you will succeed. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. And this, now here's the heritage. The peace, righteousness, security, and triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servant of the Lord. And this is their vindication from me, said the Lord. You have a wonderful God, amen? And he has made a promise. We just talked about promises. Is he faithful to his promises? Yes. You know, when you're talking about the rainbow, The one of God has seven colors in it. The one for the pride has only six. All right? Our God is a God of completeness. And we know that the number seven stands for completeness. In 7 days, the Lord had finished. But the sixth day is the number, six is the number of man. So again, coming back to the flesh versus the fulfillment of promises of God, the finished work of the Lord. Anyhow, that's an aside. Thank you. I'm going to take a moment. So Betty, do you want to mute this? Well, or shut this one down? There it is. We know it's working. Oops. Oop, lost my tail there. Okay. Get this hooked back on. There we go. All right. The King James, that last line that says, and this is their vindication, translate it this way in the New King James, and this is their righteousness, and it's from me. Think about that. No weapon forged against you, forged, formed, however it comes, is going to prevail, is going to succeed, is going to take you down. You know, I'm just going to share the last few weeks, and I'm going to just say it's probably been the last month has been a bit of a crazy month for myself. So for those of you who don't know, my brother Steve, I ended up a week ago Thursday taking him to emergency in Camrose. He was diagnosed with a perforated ulcer, which meant a rush to Edmonton for emergency surgery. He came through the surgery fine. It was a long surgery, and it was bigger than they thought. And he was doing well. Till Monday, things started not going as well, and his it was a bit of a struggle. Anyhow, he's doing well. He's doing better. But, stuff went on, and I'm not going to share all of that. You can talk to me later. Don't need to put it out there right now. He's doing better, but I want to tell you that kind of stole my peace, right? Your mind starts going. Here's the weird thing about it, because my mind was doing one thing, and my heart was telling me another. The Spirit was telling me something else inside of me. He's going to be fine, is what the Spirit was saying. My head and my thoughts and that were taking me other places. I had a couple of weeks where, and again, I'm not going to go into the details, where there was just a thought that kept coming at me, and I was struggling with it, and it was stealing my peace. And you know, I was just, why is this going on? How come? And the accuser's voice kept accusing. And you know one of the interesting things about the accuser's voice? He doesn't always just accuse you. His voice gets accusing others to you. Nothing new, nothing original. Back in the garden, did God really say? Oh, God knows that if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll be like him. What is he doing? He's stirring doubt. He's stirring distrust, unbelief. And it steals our peace. And all of a sudden, we sense lack. We sense something's, and we get anxious and we get frustrated and we get all the things that come with that because we are listening to the accuser. You know, I was listening to the accuser knowing and getting caught up in the thoughts, knowing, what are you doing? Knowing full well it's foolish, don't be listening to those voices, but struggling with it. And it was just one of those things where it's just like, sometimes it overwhelms me. And then a brilliant idea came to me via the Holy Spirit. Get your brothers and sisters to pray for you. Sometimes we don't even want to ask for that because we say, well, this is so foolish. Why am I even dealing with it? But sometimes we are a body. We hurt together and we laugh together. And And there's gifts and there's strength and power. This morning, even as we said, we corporately worship. We corporately experience God as well as individually. Sometimes we have to stop and ask, I don't care how foolish my thought is. I'm struggling with it. It's stealing my peace. I need my brothers and sisters to come alongside me, to speak the word of God over me, to declare the kingdom and remind me. Because how does faith come? And hearing what? The word of God, the good news of Jesus. And when you hear accusing words coming at you, whether it be against you or against a brother or a sister, God's word here says that we get to do what with every accusing word?
Defeat it.
You, it says, right there, let me go back. No, that's the one I want. You will condemn every word that comes from the accuser. How do we do that? How do we condemn those words? With the word of God that stands in the truth, with the promises that are fulfilled. His accusing words can come, but we can stand. And you are the one, you and I are the ones who will condemn those words. Because you see, the peace, the righteousness, the security, and the triumph we have is our heritage in Christ Jesus. It's our vindication. We stand righteous. The righteousness is from the Lord, he says. Righteousness is from me. Are you a righteous person this morning? Is it because of all the wonderful things you did? It's about him, his righteousness. And we can stand and condemn every accusing and judgmental word, every tongue that rises up against us. Are you excited about that? Yeah, that's the way to do it, Kate. You know, sometimes we can spend a lot of time asking, why is this happening? What's going on here? But you know what? That's putting your trust in your own understanding. And what does God say about that? Don't lean on Proverbs 3:5, folks. Take a look. It's not my words. It's his. And so sometimes, I have to stop myself. I don't know about you, but stop trying to figure it all out. Just stop. Instead, I want to wholly lean into the one. What about you? Do you want to wholly lean into the one, Jesus, who's more interested in you overcoming? He's more interested in your breakthrough. He is more interested in your success than you are. Did you think about that? He's more interested than you are. That's Hebrews. I love this verse. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Now, King James Version, the
author
and
finisher,
NIV, the pioneer and the perfecter of what?
Our faith.
For what reason? Joy set before him. He endured the cross, scorning its shame. He didn't care. He wasn't worried about what people were thinking. And remember, we talked about, you know, they mocked him, they turned away, they thought he deserved what he got. That's again from Isaiah. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne. Why? For the joy. Well, who's the joy? You are. What he accomplished for you and me is amazing, and it brought him joy. He is more interested in your breakthrough, your overcoming, and your succeeding than you are. And the cross proved it. Some of us are going through difficult times right now. Hello. Join the club? No, I don't want you to. Don't join the club. Don't be in that club. But if you are in that club, guess what? We have a mighty God. I don't care whether you have a negative medical report, challenging circumstances at home, financial challenges, troubles in family relationships, or at work.
thoughts and things that steal your peace, that make you anxious and make you fearful. I want to tell you one of the best places to make you fearful, watch television news. And I want you to tell you something. It's their business. That's their business. They're not there to tell you the good news. They're not there. That's not what they're about. They know what sells. It's sad to tell you this. Bad news sells better than good news. It's just a fact. I'm not saying don't watch the news. Sure. But don't let it become what dictates how you feel. Because, again, if it's taking you down, shut it off. Go to the one who lifts you up. Go to the one who's seated far above all principalities and powers and situations. He is seated at the right hand of the Lord, our Heavenly Father. And he's going to come riding in when he comes back on his horse. We you know. And what is on his right thigh or left thigh? King of kings. And do you believe that this morning? You know what? I heard that this week at Pastor Stalwick, so I'm unabashedly stealing it from Dwayne Harder, who preached this. We forget when we listen to these things, when we listen to our political leaders or whatever, who is the King of Kings? Jesus. Who is the Lord of Lords? Jesus. Do we believe that, or do we think our prime minister, our premier, our city leaders are the kings? He is the king of them. Say that again. He is the king of every power and principality is under. And they will all bow. They will all bow. Amen. No weapon formed against you will prosper. No weapon forged against you will prevail. The book of Proverbs tells us, Proverbs 18:10. I'm pointing at Crystal because I know something. Proverbs 18:10, Crystal. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. That's right. Let me see if I can get that one to come up, maybe. I don't know, Betty. Pray in tongues. Or there we go. This is the Amplified version. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous will run into it, runs into it and is safe and set on high, far above evil. Where are you seated this morning? In fact, every moment of your new born again life. Father, in Christ Jesus, far above evil. So in our times of trouble, in our times of struggle, we need to know where to run. Who are we running into? Jesus, our strong tower. Amplified version says, cast all your cares, all your anxiety, all your worries, all your concerns once and for all on him. For he cares with you with deep affection and watches over you very carefully. Watches over you very carefully. Do we believe the word of the Lord this morning? Yes. You see, we can claim these things because of Jesus. And now comes the time. I don't know, can any of you, can you guys really see what's happening up here? Can you see that baptismal tank? Yes. What does it look like? Give me some ideas. What does it look like to you? It's blue, looks homemade. Does it look like anything else? Like not what it's made of, but does it look like it represents something else? Huh? A casket? A grave? A temporary fish pond? Nobody said bathtub. Nobody said water catcher. A swimming pool. You're not going to get far, but it sure be fun to muck around in that, wouldn't it? It is a baptismal tank. That's what we call it. But really, it's a grave. last week, and this is how it represents a grave. Last week, we saw our two candidates. We saw Susie, and we saw Tony stand and testify what has already taken place in their lives, in all of our lives. They testified, going down in the water, I died with Jesus. When Jesus died on that cross, I died. My whole nature died. I'm holding him down for a long time, aren't I? All the old me is gone, dead, buried forever. Empty tomb. Because we rise up with who? With Jesus. Rising up out of the water in that new creation, that new being. The old is gone, the new has come. Standing up and testifying, look what Jesus has done. Look what the Lord has done. Look what he's done. And sometimes we forget to stop and not look at what's going around around us, what's going on around us, but look at what he's done. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the perfecter and finisher of our faith. Man, I might be having a hard time and a struggle now, but that's because my thoughts are not where they need to be, on who they need to be. I need to remember the grave. I came up out of that grave. You know why death doesn't bring fear to us? You already did. You did it. You're dead. You were buried. Oh, this whole thing, this body, I'm getting a new one. I put in for an upgrade. This, as we all will. Yeah. You see, but what's happened is the death can't bring us down because of who Jesus is. I'm not afraid to die. I already died. The enemy can come at you and say, you're going to die. Get off. I'm already dead. What are you talking about? I already live in eternity. Are you catching my drift here, folks? You're already an eternal being. And this old thing, this old tent, we're going to upgrade. My Father's house, this is John 14, I don't have it up there, two verses, my Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I'm going to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and take you to be with me where I am. Hallelujah! Yes. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17 says, for the Lord himself will come from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call. That's going to be way better than that. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Hey, good news is Jesus, folks. It's good news. 2 Corinthians, I think that's up here. 2 Corinthians 2:14, but thanks be to God who always leads us captives in Christ Jesus' triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. Let's look at this in this translation. This is the the Living Bible. Thanks be to God, for through what Christ has done, he has triumphed over us. Should you like, listen to that. He's triumphed over us. Let's just pause for a second and think about that. He's triumphed over us. Over us. Over all. Let me use the word crap, poo-poo, dung, in our lives, in our past. He's triumphed over it. All of the stuff that's going on in your life, all of the things, he's triumphed over it, over us, so that now we don't smell like poo-poo anymore. Now, wherever we go, he uses us. He uses you and I. Man, just let that sit there for a minute. That's what I was. Look what I am now, and he's using me. He's using us to tell others about the Lord and to spread the gospel like a sweet perfume. You see, you've gone from being on the dung pile to being a beautiful bottle. And guess what? There's no stopper in that bottle. And you're a beautiful fragrance everywhere you go because you're full of the Holy Spirit, full of Jesus. And he is a sweet, sweet fragrance. How many of you are glad you don't stink this morning? Jesus said, I've told you these things so that you may have my peace. In this world, you're going to have trouble. But take heart, because I've overcome the world. He's triumphed, folks, and he's leading us in this triumph. And I think I may have shared this with you last week, but it still sticks with me. It's so cute and it's so profound. This little girl is sharing. She's so excited. It's a little video her mom posted. And she's so excited because in a couple of days she's going to have a birthday. And so she's, I'm going to have my birthday in a couple of days. And so she's just childlike, you know, she's little. She's probably 4 or 5. And then she says this, oh, but now it's time for the quote of the day. And she says, have storms, not going to have storms. You got God in the boat, doesn't mean you're not going to have storms. It just means your boat won't sink. Profound? It just means your boat won't sink. Oh, man. That's some good quoting. And that's from a 4-year-old who I'm sure is quoting something mom told her to share. But you know what? There's a little kid's song. With Jesus in the boat, you can. No, come on. You can't. Either you're too old or you're too young. With Jesus in the boat, you can smile at the storm. Smile at the storm. Smile at the storm. With Jesus in the boat, you can smile at the storm as we go sailing on. No? Oh, my goodness, we were not at the same camps. But as she's saying that, and I'm for those of you saying, oh, I'm just too young to know that one, it's like, yeah, right. Anyway, not that we're going to have to, but with Jesus in the boat with us, we're not going to sink. We're going to ride through. Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First the Jew, then the Gentile. This is foundational stuff for every believer to know this. The good news of Jesus gives us unshakable foundation. It is our heritage. It is because of him. Again, going back to Isaiah 54 from the Amplified Version. Our heritage, because of Jesus, foundational, is peace. It's righteousness. It's security. It's triumph over the opposition. It's our inheritance in him. It's our heritage in him, the servants of the Lord. And when you build your life on the gospel of the good news of Jesus, you're building on a strong foundation. And we could go to the story, the parable that Jesus talks about, where the two builders, one who builds on the rock and the other who builds on sand. I'm not going to go there. It might be a story we hear with the children, or it might be one you need to go home and read yourself this week. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news, because it is the power. Jesus is the power. His finished work is the power in our lives. It's the power of God. It is the good news of Jesus that brings the power. That power is dunamis. Whoops. Pronounced, we've done this, I'm going to go through this because it means strength, power, ability. It's inherent power, power residing in a thing by the virtue of its nature. You're a new creation in Christ, full of the Holy Spirit. You got a new nature, and your virtue, your power comes from that good news of what Jesus has done. Which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. What power are you walking in this morning and putting forth? Or maybe you forget and you can put it forth. Whoops. I'll just knock that over. Too much power. We have the power of the Holy Spirit given to us. For what reasons? Oh, my. Well, one of the things, the power to perform miracles. Oh, well, that's only some people's gifts. Come on, everybody. That's not what the word says. That's what religion is taught. You have the whole Holy Spirit. And when he moves in you, if you're willing to yield to him, guess what? You can do anything. Nothing's impossible with God. Remember Sarah and Abraham in our story this morning? How many of you want another child? Well, I want to. That's pushing it. But there might be those out there who are watching who are. God can do anything. And let's trust in that. And when he says, Pastor Shannon, or Shannon, you're going to be a pastor someday, and I laughed, that's not me. That's not who I am. God wouldn't call me. I know what I was all about. Wrong focus. I'm all about him, his kingdom, and a new life, and a new creation. What's God calling you to that you're saying, oh no, that you're like Sarah? I'm way too old for that. We are an older congregation. And a lot of us say, oh, I'm too old for that now. Not my words, but his words. Nothing's impossible for me. I can use anyone. Anybody remember the story? Which prophet is it that wasn't obeying God and the donkey sat down? Balaam. If God can use an ass to speak to Balaam, he can use me. Our God is an amazing God who has given us power in this good news that we have of Jesus. There's power in it. There's power. His word is a double-edged, able to pierce. Moving on. This power also has moral power and excellence of soul. It's by the power, the dynamis of the Holy Spirit, that we can walk the talk. We don't just talk the talk. We walk the talk. And again, it's not by my strength, not by my power, but by the Spirit. No weapon formed against us will have success, will prevail. And we'll and every tongue that rises against you and I in judgment, we get to condemn. You will condemn with the sword of the Spirit, faith in God's words. We can say and claim this all because of Jesus, because of the good news. Thanks be to God. For through Christ, through what Christ has done, he has triumphed over us so that now, whatever we go, wherever we go, he uses us to tell others about the Lord and spread the good news, the gospel, like a sweet perfume. I know we've already had that, but let's just let that hang there for a minute. We're something different now. And the enemy doesn't want us to know that. He wants to accuse. He wants to get you confused. He wants us to accuse. But we can say no. And when you're struggling with it, when you can't get past your own self and your thinking, call on your brothers and sisters. Say, I'm struggling with this. Be open and honest. Confess what's really going on. Because guess what? The Lord of Lords and the King of Kings will give the Spirit that lives in you the truth to speak through them over you, to stand with you in the finished work of Jesus. And refute that lying tongue. But not only that, speak the good news of Jesus. Build your faith. Strengthen your faith. I read this quote the other day and I thought, oh man, that one's I need to make a poster and put it in front of my eyes. It says this, I'm too blessed to be stressed. I want you to say that with me today. I'm too blessed to be stressed. Because when we look at what the Lord has done, we can declare that and say that is the truth. I don't know what's going on in your heart and your life right now. And there are situations that may you need to invite Jesus into. I want you to just take a moment right now. Just close your eyes, or you don't have to, but whatever. Just focus in on him for a minute. And if there's a need that you need to invite him into, take this moment right now. Whether it's healing, whether it's provision, again, the struggle with the relationship, or you need a breakthrough somewhere. I want you to see this empty grave. See, he's done it. He's conquered it. He's even conquered death. What else? What else could he not overcome for you? Has he not overcome for you? It's because the Lord is with you. Where there are thoughts that say nothing will ever change, I want you to refute it in the name of Jesus. Jesus is the change and brings it. Everything in the new covenant, that covenant of grace is ours. You are righteous, and your righteousness is from the Lord. So it's all ours. Jesus is there in the midst. Our good news. And because of him, we know. No weapon formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is your heritage, you servants of the Lord. And your righteousness is from me, he says, from the Lord. Amen? Amen. I'm going to say this morning, if you need prayer for anything, if you want brothers and sisters to stand with you in something, come on up or grab a couple back there. It's usually noisy around the coffee machine. So, but don't go without the support. Don't go without dealing with it. So why don't you stand with me as we get ready to go into the week. Now, I'm letting you know I'm going to be on holidays for the next 2 weeks. I will be here next Sunday, but not in the office the next 2 weeks, because we've got something good going on next week. Right, Crystal? So, Father, we come before you rejoicing that you spoke through Isaiah the fact that no weapon formed against us would ever prosper against us. No words spoken against us can take root. We will refute every one of them because of your finished work, Jesus, because we have the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power unto salvation. Saved from all of this. Oh, Lord. Father, again, we want to honor you, Jesus. We thank you for your mighty hand, your mighty work in our lives, for your willingness and your love that has brought us to the new things, because we are looking at empty graves. Thank you, Jesus. As we go into this week, may you be our focus. Oh, Lord. We're going to fix our eyes on you, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And all the saints said, amen, amen.